Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you after all these years. Next month, it'll be 11 years. How about that? 11 years together. It seems like only yesterday. Somebody who hasn't been with me for 11 years, but she's been here a long time. She's been a member of our Brain Trust for quite a while now, many years. Is our good friend Kristen Arnold, who's with us right now. Kristen is the author of a couple of books, including Email Basics and Team Basics. She's one of the top team-building experts in our Brain Trust. But today she wants to talk to us about how to improve our presentations. Kristen Arnold, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. You know, Kristen, I've made a lot of presentations in my life. And I've had a lot of presentations made to me, and the technology has changed a good bit over the years, but the basic connection from my from what I want to what you need and what you want to what I need and that you know that basic connection of getting people to do what we want them to do and us performing on what they want, that really hasn't changed that much, has it?
No, not really. But I will tell you something. We have a generation of folks coming into the workplace who have been brought up on Sesame Street and television and commercials. And, you know, now we can get on the web and get all kinds of information. And so the expectations about those presentations are much more... they're higher because they want to be engaged and entertained, and they want to be part of it versus just being talked at.
The part of it, that's the new story, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think at one point, if you were just a really good presenter, people would sit back and listen. But I think now people want to be engaged, they want to be involved, they want you to interact with them, they want to be part of the process.
Have you watched a series on AMC called Mad Men? It's about advertising world back in the early 60s. Have you seen that at all?
You know, it's arriving by Netflix today.
Well, I've been watching it primarily because it's been interesting and almost comical to watch the way these people made presentations 40 something years ago. And kind of how I did way back in my very early days of my career, which was much later than this period, but you know the client would show up and they would stand up there with a storyboard and they'd say, you know, this is what we think we ought to do, this is why we think your people will love it, what do you think? And the client would say, wow, we never thought of that. This is genius. You used love in our presentation, or something like that. You know, and it's those were simpler times. These are not simple times, are they?
Well, I don't think they're not simple, but they're different. And I don't think we need to make this into a big, you know, science project or anything. But I do think that there are some core things that if you want to communicate with your audiences versus at your audiences, you know, the people that you're speaking with, that you just take it up a notch. And it's really not that hard. It's not complicated and it's not complex, but it does require you to be a little bit more intentional because it's a lot easier just to get up there and, like, you know, do a data dump.
Right.
But it takes a little bit more intention and a little bit more of a thoughtful planning to make it more engaging. And more
is part of that planning that you really need to ask who's going to be in the meeting, who's going to be consuming the information you're going to have, and including maybe now more than ever before, including maybe their ages almost. I mean, how do you find that out? I mean, if you got three people there and one is 65 and one's 45 and one's 25. How do you cover that?
Well, here's the funny part. I think 65-year-olds want to be engaged and you know, be involved. But they don't. They're not demanding it. They're not requiring it. I mean, we've got kids who will turn on their Blackberries and start, you know, IMing and texting each other if they're not tuned in to what you're saying.
Right.
So, you know, it by being engaging, you can involve all the generations. But what you're finding what I'm finding is that the younger generations just won't play with you if you're not going to play with them.
you're saying whereas the older generations might not be rude, they might actually sit there and act like they're interested. The younger generations will just go ahead and move on to other things.
Because, you know, if you think about it, and I'm an older generation person, I mean, that's the way I was taught in school. Our kids are not being taught in school like that.
Yeah.
They're being much more team-based. They're being much more required to interact in the classroom, and they want to be part of it.
So, folks, if you're giving a presentation and the person you're talking to reaches down and picks up his BlackBerry or his iPhone and starts texting, you probably have lost that sale. What do you think, Kristen?
You might. However, there is a part of the audience who is using their BlackBerry to take notes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can't just say, oh, yeah, I've lost them because they picked up their BlackBerry. That's not necessarily the case.
So what do we got to do to make sure we don't lose them?
Okay, so here's a quick and easy one. And it does not require any kind of planning, but it requires some intentionality on your part. And I would strongly recommend that your next presentation, you ask somebody that you can rely on to actually keep score of how many times you use the word you versus I. So let me repeat that. How many times do you use the word you, yours, maybe we, us, our, versus I, me, mine. Mm-hmm. Because what you'll find is that a lot of people talk about themselves. You know, the ratio should be about 1-4. You talk about yourself like one every other time. You know, about three other times you should be talking about them.
Don't you have a little antenna that runs up when people are too self-referential?
Absolutely.
We all do, don't we?
Absolutely. And it's not even like you're trying to do it. It's a subliminal thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that they're talking about the audience.
Right.
And really what they're doing is they're saying, well, I would do this.
Hold on, Kristen, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. Kristen Arnold is our guest. We're going to take a quick one, and we'll be right back after these messages, and she's going to give us some more important tips on how to make a better presentation. Stay with us.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
They say there's always magic in the air.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. We built them just for you, and we made them where there is no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff to your happy, to your little heart's content. And we built them so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And part of what we do is we introduce you to some really smart people like our good friend Kristen Arnold, who's with us right now. Kristen is the leader of her own company, which is helping people like you and me put our best foot forward to build better teams and to communicate better with our customers. Kristen, give us your website too, please.
It's www.kristenarnold.com.
And they can find your books there. They can find out how to contact you and how to get you to help them with these kinds of things that we're talking about and others, right?
Absolutely. And so, I want to tell you about a new website that I'm just launching. It's a blog on how to punch up your presentations.
Ooh, I like that. What is it?
It's called punchupyourpresentations.com.
What else could it be?
it's talking about exactly what we're talking about here, along with some video snippets from YouTube and things like that that really kind of show you what we're talking about.
punchupyourpresentations.com. I like that.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about, punching up your presentations. And you were just giving us some idea. The first thing you said was be sure that you have a pretty high ratio of them to you. And when you say you know when we're doing parsing words around here and we're building websites and things like that, the word you is really important. In other words, if you're saying, you know, something like if you say something like I want to help business, you know, that's one thing. But if you say I want to help your business, that's a whole other level, isn't it?
Correct. I mean, people want to be included, so I call this using inclusive language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, include them in the language that you're using. And if you really want to see how you're doing, is make like a little grid of the different things, like I, me, mine, versus you, yours, and we, ours, kind of thing, and just take a tally. When you're given a presentation or at your staff meeting or whatever, and just have somebody keep raw data about how often you're using those kind of words, and it's eye-opening.
One of the best tools that I've ever seen for this kind of thing is doing role plays, and literally make, you know, if it's that important a presentation, make your presentation to your peers, to your team, and get them to, you know, keep score like that, and let them be brutally honest, and you'll uncover things about yourself, about the way you come across that you did not know, and you won't like it, probably some of it.
The other thing is to videotape yourself, but we won't go there.
So what are some other things we can do?
So here's another question, or another technique, that a lot of people ask rhetorical questions. And a rhetorical question is a question that you're asking the audience, but you're not asking for a response from the audience. And I find that a lot of people ask a lot of rhetorical questions, but they don't wait for the response from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to ask a question of the audience, make sure that you're not asking a bazillion rhetorical questions. Or what a lot of people do on the other end of the spectrum is take a poll. Like, so how many of you believe that Jim Blasingame is the greatest radio talk show host on the planet?
Looks like we got one out there.
and what happens is they ask a question, and people don't know, like, am I supposed to raise my hand? Am I supposed to answer that question? What am I supposed to do? So here's what you do if you really do want people to respond, is that as you're asking that question, if you want them to raise their hand, raise your hand as you're asking that question. So, how many of you, and you start raising your
hand. Of course,
hand.
You're talking about, this would be if you're making a speech, but if you're making a sales presentation to three or four people, then you probably wouldn't want to ask them to raise their hand, right?
Oh, you could. You could. Yeah. So, for example, maybe you're making a sales presentation and say, how many of you have run across a customer who's been upset with your service?
Right.
You know? And so what you're doing is you're asking them a question that brings them in, that engages them. I mean,
right.
There really isn't a hard and fast about what techniques you can use in presentations to your customers versus just giving a presentation to your employees or giving a presentation even, you know, to your family. I mean, you can use it at a family dinner too, couldn't you?
Right. One of the ways that I've used what you're talking about with a small group is just to say, how many times do you guys go out and make a presentation and this thing happens or that thing happens? And you sort of, and then what you wait for then is for them to nod their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're hoping they'll do.
Now, that would be called a rhetorical question.
Yeah, okay? Right.
Now, mm-hmm. if you want to take it to a more engaging level, and, you know, a rhetorical question is a great way to engage people. But you can also, you know, decide, make an intentional decision, okay, how am I going to ask the rhetorical question? And a lot of people ask a rhetorical question and don't wait for that head nod kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make it into a straw poll and say, okay, how many of you, and when you see the answer, the number of hands go up, let your group know how many hands.
Give them the feedback, don't you?
Absolutely.
So, folks, the key is to get the people you're talking to, get them participating, get them involved in your presentation. Kristen, give us the website one more time.
www.punchupyourpresentations.com.
Hey, thanks, Kristen, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kristen Arnold, ladies and gentlemen. That's KristenArnold.com, too, by the way. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.